Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from G-Thanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on G-Thanks, visit gthanksjustboughtit.com/episodes. See you there. Hey everyone, welcome to another week of G-Thanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and this week I am joined by a special guest, Dan Nosowitz, who is the Dan I am married to, joins us today live from our living room. Dan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's a real honor to be here. Shocked.
I agree.
But really, really happy to be here.
So I would describe you as a food writer. Your recent essay on the sort of history of Crab Rangoon is in the Best American Food Writing 2020 book, which was edited by
J. Kenji Lopez Alt.
Right. What else would you say that you do?
I write a lot of different stuff. I started as like a tech gadget writer, and then I moved into science writing, and now I do all kinds of stuff. I do a lot of linguistics writing. I do a lot of science-y writing. I do a lot of food writing. All kinds of stuff, really.
Your presence was highly requested because I think I talk about you a lot in passing on the show, and like all of your shopping opinions, all of your cooking opinions. And a lot of times people bring kitchen-related products, and I always have to sort of say, you know, I don't spend a lot of time cooking.
You can lie, right? It's your podcast. I mean, you can just lie.
I could lie, but I feel like the truth would come out. But so a lot of people wanted to know kind of like what kind of shopper for the kitchen you are, like what kind of stuff you buy. And I did say once that you were very specific about the Dutch oven situation.
I am specific about it, but not because, like, there are some things in the kitchen that I'm very specific about because I think one thing is better. And the Dutch oven, the enameled cast iron Dutch oven, is not one that I think is necessarily better, but I think is cool. So that's why I'm very specific about it.
So why did you pick the... Because you like the Descoware.
Descoware, yes.
And what's the reasoning behind this?
So Descoware, I like. It's a really cool story. It's a Belgian brand that had its heyday in like the 60s, maybe early 70s. And it was shut down, I think, in the late 70s or 80s, sometime around there. It's fairly similar to Le Creuset, but is much lighter. And it really had a following during the time. There's a rumor that it was Julia Child's favorite brand. I actually tried to investigate this and talk to the Smithsonian that runs a Julia Child exhibit, and they were very careful to say Julia Child did not have a favorite brand. She does have Descoware in the collection, but she also has other things. Anyway, Le Creuset purchased the entire company of Descoware. The rumor is because it was too good and they couldn't compete with it. And then eventually shut it down later. But you can still find them on eBay, sometimes on Craigslist or in Goodwills, that kind of thing. I really like them. They look a little bit like Creuset's, but they are lighter and a little bit weirder. They do some weird patterns and stuff that I really like.
We don't have a weird one, though.
We do. We have that like autumnal one, you know, the white one that has like leaves on it.
We don't use that one.
Yeah, it's... So I bought that one... and it was mislabeled, the size of it. So it's like much smaller than it was labeled as.
Oh.
So it's not useful for all that many things.
But keep in mind, it's a perfectly big pot and we are only two people.
That's but like, true. Why are, is the one that you use, the Dutch oven that you use, like 8 quarts?
No, it's smaller than that. It's still on the small side. I think ours is like a 4 quart. The ones that you would find, just like any Le Creuset, the standard size Le Creuset or Lodge or whatever else, those are usually either, I think, 5.5 quarts or 7 quarts is like the big boy.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is smaller than that, but we are only two people, so I'm fine with it. Can you hear Kevin?
I mean, I can. I'm sure some people can too. That's Kevin purring. He will not leave anybody alone.
Our cat Kevin has realized that we are going to be stationary for a little bit and we can't escape him.
Yeah.
So he's just going to,
he's the third guest. Yeah, you're a little bit picky about kitchen tools. When we got engaged and we registered for stuff in our registry, I feel like I was really into the idea of getting like a bunch of like really cool kitchen stuff, and you weren't super into that. I'm trying to remember like what we disagreed on. I just went for the KitchenAid, and I think you just lost that battle.
It wasn't, so I will say that when I, first had like my own kitchen, like when I lived alone for the first time, which is the apartment I was in when Caroline and I met, the entire apartment was like under 300 square feet, and the kitchen itself was like 8 feet by
it was so
four
small.
Feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a closet, yeah. Really, with like a miniature stove in it. Mm-hmm. And I cooked constantly in that thing. So I really had to pare down to the bare essentials of what I needed. Like, can't have a single more pot than you really need.
Right.
And that kind of, I think, informs how I buy stuff, even now that we have like a normal human sized kitchen. So yeah, my instinct is to say, like, if I'm not going to use this a lot, or if it doesn't, like, if it duplicates with anything that we currently have, then I don't want it.
Yeah, but we did get the KitchenAid.
But the KitchenAid's great, yeah.
You use it.
Definitely. The KitchenAid is, like, it is a tool that, like, you can't really replicate with other
right.
equipment.
Kevin is literally like in the microphone. If you are baking something that requires you to
so
use
useful.
a mixer, though, you can't like lie and do it.
Right.
You can't hand mix it because it will not come out. Because baking is such a science that if they tell you to use a mixer, you got to use a mixer.
It also has so much power. Like, a hand mixer can do some stuff, but like, I need bread in the
right.
stand mixer. And
so
like, that's not a thing that you can do with a
so
hand
you would
mixer.
Agree that I made a really good choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a bread maker you didn't want.
No, bread maker is not really necessary if you have, like, we have the stand mixer with the bread hook attachment.
But I don't know what that does.
It's like, it's for kneading. Like, you just throw in the bread dough in there and then just like bash it with the dough hook. And then it's
in an ideal world, I would be someone that makes bread. I didn't even get into that. You know, I didn't get into the sourdough
yeah.
thing.
I didn't really either. Like, I make
but
some
it's
bread
different
but...
for somebody who actually like cooks all the time. That sure. was like a thing for people who are like, oh, I've never tried this and I think I'm gonna try it, and for me that was like cooking on general. I'm like, maybe I'll start cooking, but I really didn't. I probably never will. I think there are a few things that I can make really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not enough. And all of it is like not part of like a healthy, like I can make macaroni and cheese and I can make grilled cheese.
Those cookies are really good.
And I can make cookies, and I don't think you can like live off that forever.
Not, you know,
not for longer than like three days. So the other thing too. So we have, right. The bread maker. So I would have thought that the bread maker would have gone in the same direction as the rice cooker, but then you wanted a rice cooker.
I did want a rice cooker.
Everyone knows the story, but if you want to tell the story again, I've told it before, and I don't know who, like longtime listeners will know that Dan is a very stealth and savvy secondhand shopper. We had a room and board couch that he got secondhand because a rich couple who had purchased it literally 40 days earlier decided it didn't go with their house.
No, they decided that they wanted a pullout couch.
A pullout
which
couch.
Really feels like if you're shopping for a couch, like that's something you should decide on
before you
beforehand.
Buy it. Before you buy the $3,000 couch.
Right.
What'd you spend on that? Like
$400.
And it was a $3,000 couch.
Yeah. It still had like the shrink wrapping on the cushions.
It was wild.
Yeah.
But that was because you found the one that you liked on Room and Board, and then you just started looking for it on Craigslist. Because you have like an infinite amount of patience, whereas I do not.
Yeah, I would say it's more like a disorder. I have a disorder that like whenever I shop for anything, even if it's like something that costs $20,
yeah.
like I'm going to watch hours of YouTube videos and read every review, and it's really a waste of my time.
I think that is a problem because you do it for. I think that I don't do that enough with some of the bigger things. But I also think that my strategy is like, I don't know who these people are who are reviewing it.
Sure.
They're not me. Like I might find something that I love that a reviewer is like, I don't like.
Yeah.
I like the wire cutter. I think it's a really great place to start, but a lot of times it has steered me incorrectly.
Yes.
But you will do that kind of research for a thing that just does not require.
It doesn't matter.
You need to weigh the item cost versus labor of time.
Yeah. If I like weighed in what I would like charge someone per hour of my time, like I'm losing money.
You're losing
dramatically
money
dramatically on everything I buy.
What's the last dumb thing you researched
I bought this smartwatch. That was really dumb. I mean, I really like it.
I know. But
it's like a Chinese smartwatch that has Alexa and it's the least secure possible. Like it's a direct line to the Chinese government, I'm pretty sure. But it's just a little fitness tracker. It's not like a full Apple Watch. It's just like heart rate monitor and step thing and that kind of stuff. It costs like $40. I spent weeks researching.
I mean, I don't know. I tune out. Like
that's the right move.
Like I'm not aware of all the time that Dan will spend researching something, but something will show up and it'll seem like a very random purchase. And then I will find out later that like this has been in the works for like years and we finally landed on the smartwatch. But you won't get an Apple Watch because you don't have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay. So does your watch sync with? Okay. So tell us more about it. I know you love it. I know that you love it and you talk to
it
all the time and you get your steps in.
So it's by a brand called Amazfit. I think that's how it's pronounced. It's a fitness tracker, so it's not a full smartwatch, so it's very, very small. It's a bracelet looking, I would say.
Yeah, it looks like a Fitbit.
Yeah.
Have you seen other fitness trackers?
Well, you know.
It looks like a Fitbit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, but one of the small Fitbits. Like, it's, you know, a third the size of an Apple Watch or whatever.
Yes.
But it has, like, everything that I wanted in it, which was, like, heart rate monitor, blood oxygen monitor. I actually don't know what blood oxygen is or does or means.
Can you really measure your blood oxygen?
There was like a warning on it that was like, do not use this as a medical device. Like it might be right, but like, please don't.
I don't even believe my Apple Watch when it tells me how fast my heart is beating.
The Apple Watch has the same warning on it.
I'm sure it does.
If you have like a heart condition, like this is not a medical device.
Also, a thing that we were not used to in New York that exists all in Prop 65 in California, I think that's what it is. It like makes them anything that could potentially kill you.
Oh, the cancer thing?
Short term or long term is put on a warning on everything here. It makes everything like 1,000 times less enjoyable. Anything you do is like, this will one day kill you.
Well, it's on anything that could possibly be carcinogenic. So it's on like burgers.
I know.
Like it's
that's
on.
That's why it ruins my.
Like it's, anything it's, made of plastic.
I did a drive through for a burger the other day because I really wanted a burger. And it was a couple of weeks ago, I guess. And as I was waiting in line, there was like a huge poster that was just like, you're going to die.
I bought a pair of pants the other day and it came with a cancer warning.
It comes with a cancer warning. Everything is going to, in California, everything's going to kill you. We're getting off topic. The rice cooker. So I was like, okay, you don't want a bread cooker. I don't understand why you want a rice cooker. I know you can make rice on the stove. What's the deal? Is it because it was $5?
Partly. Maybe mostly. No, it's a good point that I have been making rice on the stove for many years. It's not hard. But I bought it's a Zoji Rushi rice cooker that I found at a Goodwill for $5. It didn't have a power cord, but it's like a power cord that you can find anywhere.
So this is what I'm saying. Like, I would see that and be like, oh, it doesn't come with a power cord. So I guess this is worthless. But Dan will know, like, oh, I can just go on eBay and find like an HDMI, like blah, 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 blah.
Or like that Goodwill probably has one for sale for $1, like not attached somewhere else.
But those things stress me out. But you understand how to like upcycle that way.
I'm fluent in power cords. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, that's true. We have a full box if anyone's in the market.
We did have to discard. I mean, there was one box that had like my Zune charging cables
so
in
dumb.
It that we had to like get rid of when we moved to LA. Wait,
I could go on forever about this. Okay, so you found the $5 Zoji Rushi.
Right.
I remember I was with you.
I was really excited.
It was literally like someone had, you would have thought that he reached inside a pair of khakis at the Goodwill and found like a $500 bill.
Oh, it's better. It's way better.
Sure.
five can't cook rice with $500.
You could. You could buy.
Yeah, but there's more steps in between, you know. yeah, so this Zojirushi rice cooker is probably like $120, $150 rice cooker that was on sale for $5. It took me like 2 days to clean it. It wasn't that dirty or anything, but I just
wanted
to be really
careful.
It wasn't
dirty, but it had like, the grease splatter and like it definitely it didn't look so appealing, I think, to the untrained eye.
It didn't look fresh.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't look fresh.
So I cleaned it for like a day or two. And it's great. The reason that I have a rice cooker is just because we eat a lot of rice in this house, I would say. Like, I mean, how many meals have rice in them?
Most. Like rice bowls.
Yeah, we do a lot of rice bowls. We do a lot of fried rice. So the rice cooker, it's very good at cooking rice. But it's just a very easy thing that you don't have to keep an eye on. Like stovetop rice, you kind of have to watch.
But wouldn't a bread maker be the same thing?
I mean,
The way that I imagine a bread maker though is like,
it doesn't bake the bread.
Oh,
it just kneads the bread.
That's it?
Yeah, that's all it does.
Oh, okay. Well, this is hold on. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. This was kind of like when I got the Instant Pot a few years ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what it did. But I bought an Instant Pot in 2016.
Early on in like the Instant Pot craze.
Yeah, I was influenced by an old boss of mine who got it. And he was like, you should get it. It's great. Really not keeping in mind that like I live with somebody who cooks all the time and really enjoys cooking. And I think Instant Pots are amazing, but like I don't cook. So if it wasn't going to be a useful tool for Dan, then it really didn't make sense. But I was very excited by the like toy of it all, as I'm sure many of you who have Instant Pots, you know, either some of you have gone the same way I have, which is like, I don't find this useful. Or I bet there are a lot of you who are like, I use it for everything. It's amazing.
It's a really fun gadget.
It's really fun. But I kind of thought with the Instant Pots, like you take a box of macaroni and a stick of butter and a cup of milk and then you press a button and then it's like
restaurant quality mac and cheese.
Yeah. But there's so many steps with the Instant Pots, like sear the meat.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with the Instant Pot is that it can't do anything that a pot can't do.
No, I get it.
But it does like, I mean, the reason that it didn't, I think, stick in our household is because I do most of the cooking and we don't really cook meat.
But you can make eggs in there. You can make yogurt, I hear.
there's a yogurt button, I think.
But I guess what I'm saying is that maybe I just have a really poor understanding. Like, I thought a bread maker, like, you just, like, flour, water, yeast, and it's like, bloop, 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 and now you have, like, a nice loaf of bread.
Like a pasta maker. I guess it's mostly like a pasta maker in that you have to cook the pasta afterwards.
You do? You do, right?
Yeah. It like rolls it out and like,
oh, you mean like the pasta like attachment on the, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't really get, we've had things before like a dehydrator that didn't really last.
Dehydrator was cool.
It just took up a lot of room.
It took up so much room and we just like didn't have a ton of use for it. But when we did use it, that was cool, I thought.
You guys know that the next thing I'm going to hear, like once this episode's done recording, Tan's going to be like, we should get another dehydrator.
I got a couple months of
research. Now we
got
to go to Goodwill. Now we got to go to, in 2022, we'll be at Goodwill looking for a dehydrator. I guess that I didn't realize that the bread maker didn't, I thought the bread maker was like a little oven for bread.
No, I mean, maybe there are ones like that, I don't know. But like my dad has one and the kind that he has, it just like kneads.
Right.
So you put in like instant yeast, water, salt, flour.
Yeah.
And it kneads it into a dough for you. But then you bake it.
You can do that with the KitchenAid?
Yeah, the KitchenAid has a dough hook. That does basically the same thing.
I've seen it around.
Yeah.
I mean, I use the KitchenAid to just make cookies, so I'm not super well versed in all of the different attachments. We do have a spiralizer attachment.
Is there one? I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Someone gave it to us when we got married. I think we haven't used it. But again, Dan would rather like cut vegetables himself, and who am I to take away that joy?
It's like a Top Chef challenge.
I know.
I like doing that.
I know. So yeah, so we have the Zojirushi. It makes a lot of noise. It was $5. How much did the cord cost you?
Oh, $2 maybe.
Okay, so $7 investment. For a while, we didn't have two cords. We only had one, and we had to switch it between the printer and the rice cooker.
It used the same cord.
Yeah, there was
a lot of talks. Like Caroline was like, "I have to send a package. Like, can you unplug the rice cooker?" Which is like not a normal.
Yeah. Eventually, we just like made life easier and bought two cords.
Yeah, we spent $2.
There are other things in the kitchen that you're not a big, not a huge fan of. You like Serena Wolf, love a microplane.
I do.
She
love
brought
a microplane.
That too. Yeah. You don't like when I use jarred garlic. She also said no jarred garlic. Yeah.
It's got a weird flavor to it.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, it tastes a little weird to me. It tastes a little like funky and like wet.
I will say though, very often in our house, if we are cooking individually, like if Dan has a lot of work or like doesn't feel like cooking dinner, which is totally fine, like we are and I'm left to my own devices, Dan will sometimes like I eat like a frat boy, right?
were you thinking about whether frat girl was the right
frat girl?
Yeah.
No, I eat like a frat boy. I mean, like there are times where I'm just like my whole entire dinner is like tater tots and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with
but
that.
Dan will cook like a full gourmet meal, you know, like at 11 p.m and my feeding time is far. I'm asleep by 11. Yeah. But yeah, I just don't have that kind of skill in the kitchen. But like, I'm very into like kitchen toys. So whenever
really
I can find, whenever I can find something that I think you would like, then I'm always happy that we can like meet in the middle on that. Like the KitchenAid was a good one.
KitchenAid is good. Yeah.
The rice cooker I didn't really understand, but I guess it's good. Even though I still don't know how to use it, even though it's not hard. Maybe I'll ask it out easily.
It's not hard, but you do kind of have to practice with it to figure out the right ratio of water to rice. And it's different depending on what kind of rice you use. So like, I'm still perfecting my use of it. But I just like, I mean, having rice around is really good. Just like
rice around.
Yeah. Rice aroundy. just like rice in the fridge is really nice.
Rice in the fridge is really nice.
Yeah, that's gonna
like a base, like having a that's the theme song.
Yeah, that's I have that on t-shirts. Having rice in the fridge is nice.
I would buy that.
But also like day old rice is perfect for fried rice, which is one of both of our favorite things.
That's like one, but like my hack for that is when we order Chinese food and I just order because all the boxes
that's a
of
great
rice
hack.
I agree, all the boxes of rice are just either they come with the meal or it's like a dollar extra and then you just can make
rice.
A whole other I taught Aaron Chack how to make a how to turn a day old burrito into like a good breakfast and she really was shocked that she had not thought of that before.
Burrito chilaquiles.
Yeah, it was like you just take out all the fillings from the burrito, you fry it up a little on the stove.
Yeah.
And you put it in a bowl and you eat it. And I'm like, I'm a chef. another question that came in for you was, what is the best, what is the purchase that you spent the most time researching in 2020 that you bought and disappointed you?
And disappointed me?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm going to turn around and look at the kitchen for a second.
Do you want to keep that in mind and we can go to the next question?
Yes. Yeah, I can't think of one. I don't buy all that much kitchen equipment.
No, it doesn't have to be the kitchen. It should be anything you bought.
Oh, anything I bought, period. I bought a mechanical keyboard, which I spent a lot of time researching. So I had this great keyboard that I loved. But which was discontinued. They don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was in the market for a new one. And we have some friends who are very into mechanical keyboards.
Nerds.
Which are, yeah.
Our nerd friends.
We're friends with nerds.
And we are nerds.
And we are also professional nerds.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a ton of research and I bought this mechanical keyboard. And like, I kind of don't like it very much. And it was kind of expensive. And I have to use it every day for work. And I don't really like it that much.
Why do you
have
to use it? Why can't you just go back to your old keyboard?
It's fully broken.
So just, okay. We'll have this conversation and we're not recording.
Like I wouldn't.
It just seems dumb to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. It looks cool. Like.
Yeah. And there's so many people at our house.
Yeah, that's true.
There's so many people at our house seeing how cool you look with that keyboard.
yeah. I mean, people are always asking me, send a pic of your keyboard. no, I don't really like the mechanical keyboard.
Okay.
I have to say.
Another person wants to know if you like the hot the hot tub.
I like the hot tub. I wouldn't say.
You don't go in it.
I go in it.
No, like, you don't.
Sparingly.
You don't. And I'm fine with that because it's mine. It's mine and I pay the bill for it.
I mean, I think it's important that Caroline has a marine workspace.
I don't work out there.
You could.
I could, but I would ruin my.
Yeah.
All my wares. You don't like, because you don't like the jets. I like the jets.
I don't like the jets. Yeah.
You don't, it's too hot for you. Well, I mean, I spent like 5 hours out there every day in the summer.
That's true.
And it was a
pool.
I
can't believe you're not in it right now.
But it was a pool because it's not as fun when it's super hot.
Sure.
The trials of tribulations of having a hot tub. But okay, so you don't really like the hot tub. Another question was, what was the worst thing I bought this year?
Ooh, that's a fun one. What have you bought?
What have I bought that you were like, why did you buy this? This is dumb. Could be any. Honestly, it could be anything.
You know what I don't like? The
Wait to hear.
The organizer for the car.
I don't understand what your problem is with that.
So
you are always spouting off about that.
I really don't like it.
It's just one of those organizers for the car so that things don't fly around in your trunk.
Right.
It's not, you shouldn't lose sleep over it, Dan.
I have lost sleep over it. I'm a wreck.
I mean,
no,
but
sleep.
Like, why do you hate it? It's fine.
So I think it's because the idea of like,
hold on. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's like four little
boxes. It's like little cubby holes.
It's like little cubby holes and you put it in. You can put your
like
groceries in it and your windshield wiper fluid and everything just kind of sits there. Dan hates it.
I'm constantly taking it out of the car.
We've had it since we moved here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, we're going to be going grocery shopping with our car. And I thought it was like a fun car accoutrement. And you hate it. All right, go for it. Tell me why you hate it.
So
let's hear it.
I don't like that. So we have a Honda Fit, which has a very, it's tons of storage space, but it's all vertical because it's a hatchback. So there's not very much like floor space in the car, in the trunk of the car, that is.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing takes up like all of that and it doesn't really fold up like it's supposed to, but you can't really like fold it into be like a quarter size of itself.
What are you trying to store in the car?
Well, it came up for when we had this farmer's market that does a full no contact pickup.
Oh, I forgot about this. This was like real spring 2020 drama.
We're going back to it.
This is April.
Yeah.
These are like undiscussed, unresolved issues. I know exactly where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Continue. It's fine.
So there's this farmer's market that does a full no contact pickup. So you order online and then you go like the next week and everyone's wearing a mask and you just pull up with a sign that has your name on it.
You write like your last name on the back of an envelope and you put it on your front window,
right.
And they see it and they bring you your stuff. You pop your trunk, they pop it in.
Right. But that means that you really have to have the trunk clear because like it's a real, you know, they're trying to minimize contact as much as possible. So you don't want to have any more time like rummaging in people's trunks than you have to. So it really has to be a streamlined process.
Rummaging in people's trunks.
Yeah.
A thing that never happened when we went to the farmer's market. You're like over dramatizing.
No, they would say
if you were watching this
rummage when they were
if you were watching this on a show, there would be like the re-dramatization with actors that kind of looked like us, where it would be the people at the farmer's market like being distraught about the state of our trunk when in actuality
they were sobbing.
They were they could have just put the stuff down.
I just felt guilty about it because like it's a real pain for them. They're not being paid very much and I just wanted to make it as easy as possible.
Now you're making it sound like I'm a big solid B.
No, so
you're picky.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. But it's not like no farmer's market employee ever said to you or to us like, hey man, we can't do this anymore because of your trunk cubbies.
No, this is completely internalized.
Okay.
This is all my specific
neuroses.
All right,
just so you know, everyone at the farmer's market is fine.
At worst, the person at the farmer's market would be like, hey, can I move this thing? And then they would move it and be fine. But
oh my God.
That's not how I would internalize it. So anyway, this organizer can't really be folded up. It was never like full of stuff that we needed exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you think that, but it was, but okay.
It just felt like it took up a lot of floor space and we didn't have very much of it. So yeah, I didn't like that.
Jesus. All right. Well, if anyone in LA wants a free car organizer, it's yours. 'Cause I don't think we're going to be keeping it for much longer. It's fine.
It's fine.
Oh my gosh. No. Okay. So that was my worst purchase of 2020.
I think so. What else have you bought?
The hot tub.
Like the hot tub's great.
You hate my orange chair in the backyard.
Oh.
But you kind of like it.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say I hate
it. It's
that.
Like a hammock chair. It's not a hammock and it's not a chair.
It's like
that's all I can say. I'm going to link to it.
It's a chaise lounge that's like suspended.
It's really nice.
No, I don't hate it at all. I think my only thing was that only one person can sit on it at a time.
Just how I like my chairs. Right.
That was my only quibble with it.
It's hard to get out of a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to get out of.
I don't know that I've bought that much else this year. And I know better than to buy anything for the kitchen after Instant Pot Gate 2016. So like there aren't very many instances where I'm like bringing home or like ordering something from the kitchen. Actually, though, surprisingly, best purchase of 2020, my purchase, you love the Emeril air fryer convection oven.
Oh,
you
yeah.
made fun of me for it when it showed up.
Yeah.
And you said, we'll never use it. And you were like, this is like Instant Pot Gate 2016 all over again. We have an oven. You love it. You love it. And don't lie.
No, I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to gauge how I should describe how much I was owned by
the Emeril power fryer. Thing. It's so good.
I really didn't think I was going to like it. So it's a toaster oven, but it's a toaster oven with a convection fan in it.
It is so much more than a toaster oven. It has like 19 different settings.
Right. But those are just like different ways to program a toaster oven, really. Like it's a toaster oven with a lot of controls.
Okay.
And a fan.
But the toaster oven, I'm thinking a toaster oven, not a toaster.
Yeah.
Get it. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a fancy toaster oven, but the convection fan in it is really cool. It uses like not very much power. So especially if you're like roasting like a single serving's worth of something,
yeah,
like to
so
do that,
much easier than yeah
to do that in
on.
The oven, like it takes forever to heat up and it uses a ton of gas. It's just like not very efficient to do it, and then the toaster oven, it's really really quick for it. Has a lot of settings that like some of them are really good, some of them are not so good, like the dehydrate function. We tried that and it like didn't really work.
This is what I'm telling you, the second this episode is over, Dan's gonna go research dehydrators, and there will be one in the kitchen by the time this airs.
Dehydrators on the brain.
I know. Well, and it also has a rotisserie function that we haven't used, but I would like to try this winter. That would be
fun.
And then, there's just like a lot of things it can do, and it's quiet.
It's quiet,
but it was
really easy to use.
Totally one of those things that you were like, we don't have room for it. And you were like, we're never going to use it. And it wasn't an unfair thing for you to say, because like this had happened before with the Instant Pot, and sometimes I just get excited when I see like an infomercial for something,
right?
But
and
this,
like
we use this every day.
Yeah, we use it a lot. Like I think the basic idea of like if you do have, you know, such cramped space in your kitchen, and if you already have like a slot toaster and an oven, like you actually don't need it. It doesn't do anything that those things don't do, really.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have like a spare, you know, 1 cubic foot or whatever, like a spare shelf that we could put this thing
on. We have like a pantry rack.
Yeah, we had enough space for it. And it does a lot of stuff really, really well. It's great. I really like it.
Owned.
Yeah.
Owned.
Fully owned.
And then someone else asked, what is a thing that Caroline loves that you hate? And I know the answer to this, but I can tell by your face that you don't know what I'm going to say.
No.
The quilt.
Oh, the quilt.
Okay, so we have this Bowl and Branch queen size white quilt. It's so nice. It's so comfortable. And now that I know that this is the thing that I love, like it's not like the hot tub, like I love it, but you don't use it. This is
no, but I think the hot tub's great.
I know, but this is a thing that I love and I will not get rid of, and that you actively hate.
Yeah, I really don't like it.
Tell them why.
So it's a quilt. It's like on the thinner side for a quilt, but it's very, very heavy and like warm.
I'm rolling my eyes.
And we have
That's what a quilt is. It's heavy and warm.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's very heavy. The quilt is very warm. And let me tell you, the quilt is warm. Yeah, that's what people look for when they buy quilts.
Look.
FYI. You're looking at me like I'm crazy for buying a warm quilt.
How dare you?
Okay, continue.
Okay, so we have it on top of our comforter. And it's too hot.
Crazy.
It's too many layers. I don't like a lot of layers in the bed. And, I don't like it. It's too hot.
Oh my God. This quilt has stayed.
Comforter plus quilt is like, it's a lot.
That is called bedding. And It gets cold here at night. People don't think that, but it's like down to 42 at night.
It gets cold here, yeah.
I think Dan thinks I like it only for the aesthetic of having like a nice white quilt. And there's matching pillow cases and shams or whatever. But you like violently throw the thing off the bed.
No, I...
He puts it on my side. Yeah. He'll fold it over so that it's double layered on top of me.
That's true.
The two warm quilts. Sorry for getting a warm quilt. I'll know better next time.
Yeah, get a terrible quilt next time.
I knew that was going to be your thing, but I knew that you wouldn't think of it.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that comes up truly on a daily basis.
Like, nightly.
I hate this quilt. Nightly. That's right. Nightly. That was a really good question. What was another good question? I'm scanning through the questions. Someone wanted to know how you feel about the popularity of beans right now as someone who has always loved beans.
I'm in favor of it.
You were an early adopter of bean life.
Yeah.
You don't use canned beans.
No, I will sometimes. I don't have anything against canned beans.
Dan, if you can't tell, Dan loves a production. So if you wanted to make something that called for beans and it would be too easy to open a can and use a can of beans, Dan would rather soak them for 24 hours like it's the Oregon Trail, like he's an American Girl doll. And those beans just sit there and we don't get the food that we wanted until like two
days later.
Is there
a bean-themed Oregon Trail?
I don't know.
Like Why? Oregon Trail doll? I would like that.
You mean American Girl doll?
American Girl doll, sorry, yeah.
A bean-themed doll?
Yeah.
I'll look into it for you.
Like
Kirsten,
a bean girl.
Kirsten got cholera. Felicity was like a rich Victorian. No, that was Samantha.
Which of them
Felicity
is into
was
beans?
Colonial. I don't know if anyone knows the answer. Molly could have been into beans.
That's a colonial one?
Molly could have been into beans because Molly was World War II. So yeah. You weren't buying like aluminum can of beans. Maybe you were just soaking
That's
your
the
own.
Austerity doll.
You want a bean doll?
I mean, if there is one.
Oregon Trail bean doll. Okay, I'll look into that for you.
Thanks.
Christmas is right around the corner. I'll be your Hanukkah gift. Okay, so yeah, so you would prefer a bean soak. Beans came up on our wedding vow.
I'm sure they did, yeah. No, I've been cooking beans for a long time. I love beans.
It's been 84 years. You love beans.
Yeah, we do.
But why not the canned beans? It's easy.
No, there's nothing wrong with canned beans. You gain, like, they have kind of strengths and weaknesses. So, like, if I was making, like, hummus, then, like, canned chickpeas are pretty good because the final output that you're looking for is basically what's in the can anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
Okay.
But you lose some stuff. Like, when you do a bean stew, a lot of the flavor comes from the liquid that you're cooking the beans in. And that's, like, a very nice addition to it.
Okay.
And you don't get that with a canned bean.
I'm gonna make chili today, I think.
Sure.
But I'm gonna use a canned bean.
That's fine.
All right, thanks for signing off.
That's cool.
Another question was what food do you miss the most in New York and what food is that do you like in California?
I mean, the pizza is not very good here.
Domino's is amazing.
Yeah, Domino's remains Domino's.
It's so good.
I don't actually miss bagels. Bagels was not something that I ate all the time.
It wasn't like I ate either, but I mean, I loved a bagel.
Yeah.
And I still love a bagel.
I miss that. American Chinese food is like not that good here.
There's actually like really good Chinese food here.
Well, there's
but not
that in
American.
New York too. But like,
right?
Yeah, it's like if like within 10 minutes of us, we can get killer Taiwanese food. But like a really good General Tso's chicken is sort of hard to find here.
Yeah. Sesame chicken.
Yeah, that kind of stuff is hard to find. Like Panda Express is not good.
But it can hit the spot.
Yeah, it's like the same flavor, but that's like it's the Domino's
frat boy food. I know, I get it.
It's just not that good.
And what do you like? I mean, obviously, like
the Mexican food here is out of control, and that's like the one cuisine that New York is not super good at.
Well, they are when you go to the right places.
Yeah, like Sunset Park, and there's some places in Queens, but like it's still really limited in terms of the breadth of like regional Mexican food,
right?
Which you can get really good here, and it's kind of a thing of pizza in New York, which is just that any random place on the corner is going to have a good pizza.
For a dollar.
In New York, yeah. And any random place on the corner here is going to have a good taco. And that's...
I will. I do like the burrito.
Yeah, you're a burrito girl.
I'm a burrito girl. Yeah. Over tacos, I think. Yeah. Just a heftier bite.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and we're going to be right back. We're going to see what Dan brought to Jay Thanks Just Bought It.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay. Dan.
Hi, Caroline.
What'd you bring?
So I brought some Pyrex storage containers, which I think, is this not exciting?
No, I know. Of course it's exciting.
You give me an eye like
this. No, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting to hear you. I'm enraptured.
Okay. I want it to be exciting.
I'm excited.
Okay.
Everyone loves Pyrex.
Okay.
But I'm just excited to, it's not so much about the item with you as it is about the stories that you will tell.
Oh, I got stories. I got stories for days. So I love glass storage containers.
Yeah.
Our cabinet is absolutely full of old salsa jars and sauce jars and stuff like that. We are a glass storage household, I would say. But if you want to just accumulate all that stuff all at once, I would recommend the Pyrex storage kit that has 8 or 12 different...
Like the ones you can get at Costco?
Yeah, or I think Amazon has them too.
Sure.
It's a set of storage containers. But I want to talk about glass storage because it's very, very good and people overlook it. So the thing with Pyrex especially, which is a treated glass type material, is that it's non-porous, so it's never going to stain. But if you put tomato sauce in a plastic thing, it's going to turn red and gross.
Yeah.
Glass won't do that because it's non-porous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really good. You can also cook in it, which I think not a lot of people do, but is really, really useful.
Could you bake in a glass Pyrex?
You can and should. It's excellent as bakeware. And a lot of the shape of these Pyrex containers are really good for... They're just kind of sizes that you may not use all that often. You know, it's like a brownie tin sized thing that I don't know, that may not come up a lot and you don't want to buy a new thing.
Why would I think that glass would shatter in the oven?
Well, okay, so the thing with glass is that the one thing that it can't do is change temperatures quickly because then it'll shatter.
Okay.
So you can't put it on the stovetop. You can't if it's hot, you absolutely cannot run it under cold water to cool it off. It'll explode.
Which is exactly what I would do.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that before, too.
Cool.
But it's oven safe because ovens, they don't heat up super quickly.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really good for bakeware. It heats up really evenly.
So if you bake brownies in a Pyrex, where do you put the glass when it's done cooking?
Just let it cool on the counter.
But isn't that a change of temperature?
Yeah, you just can't do it super fast. You can let it cool down to room temperature. That's no problem.
But isn't that fast?
No. Compared to
you can't just put it in the freezer.
Right. Or run it under cold water.
I would have thought bringing it from 350 to a 70 degree room would be fast.
Because it'll take 45 minutes to cool fully to room temperature. That's pretty slow. Whereas if you ran it under cold water, it would cool in 5 seconds and explode.
Cool. Okay.
Obviously, I feel like I'm not selling it that well.
No, you are. I'm just stuck on the things that make me
scared of it.
Scared of it. Yeah. But I know it's not that scary. Okay. So glass over everything.
Yeah. I love glass as storage. Another thing that I really like these Pyrex containers for is making vinaigrettes, which is something that we eat a lot of vinaigrettes in this house. I would say.
We eat a lot of vinaigrettes.
Yeah.
We use. We don't eat them raw.
No, we could.
We could take shots of them. So a backstory on this is when Dan and I first started dating, I knew how to make one of the things I knew how to make was meatballs.
Is that what it was? We definitely had meatballs on an early date.
Clearly a memorable recipe from me.
There was a buffalo chicken meatball.
That was what it was. It was a buffalo chicken meatball. But it was an elevated buffalo chicken meatball.
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was homemade.
That's right. And I had you know, I had gone to like the D'Agostino up near my apartment and I bought like a bunch of stuff to make dinner and I bought salad dressing. I just bought like a balsamic vinaigrette salad dressing to go with the salad. And Dan was like very, very nice. It was like our, what, third date or fourth date?
Yeah.
And
it's not the time to let loose with my inflammatory opinions.
They came later by date six. But you were like, oh, I know. You were like so nice about it, but it was so clear what you were saying. You were like, oh, I haven't bought salad dressing in so long.
Did I say that?
Yeah. And I was like, what? And then a few weeks later, Dan had a cooking column at The All called Crop Chef. And every week was like a different, like, do X to Y. So it was like a way to cook a vegetable or an herb.
Or a fruit.
Or a whatever, fruit. Yeah. And then a few weeks later, like inspired, I guess, not in like a mean way, and I knew it was coming, but you wrote like a whole thing about how like you were like, you know, the one thing we all should stop doing is buying. Okay. Why?
Well, I don't think that's what happened.
It is what happened.
I'm like pretty sure that it wasn't in response to you.
Okay, you're remembering it differently, but yeah, we can cut. Okay, so Dan and I cooked for a date. I brought salad dressing. And Dan was like, you know, I make my own salad dressing. You're looking at me like, this is a horrible story. It's not. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Come on, what 28-year-old guy, you know, I don't know. I wasn't dating a lot of 28-year-old guys who were like, I know how to, you know.
Yeah.
I dated people who didn't know how to clean their own bathroom. And here
that was also me. Right?
But here you were making your own salad dressing. So I found that impressive.
Yeah, I'm very big on making salad dressings, which is pretty much always a vinaigrette of some sort. Like we don't really do like...
You're talking like we're a unit.
That's true.
I'm not in the kitchen. I don't know what I'm doing. The one time I made anything, there was soap in it. So and we're not telling that story. So, yeah, so you were like, oh, we don't even, you know, you were like, I can make this.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it wasn't in a bratty way. You were like, you were excited.
Yeah.
You were like, you know, this dressing that you bought, like I could make that. And I was like, oh my God, cool. Cause you know, when you're in the beginning of dating something, like someone, like every single thing they say is like the coolest thing in the world. So this was date five where it was like, I can make salad dressing. And I was like, oh my God.
Can't believe that worked.
It did work. It really worked. Now here we are.
Yeah.
So, but that's what you use those little jars for.
Right.
Is that what they're for? Who's buying the little jars of Pyrex?
I don't really know what they're for. I guess I've put like jam in them when I've made jam.
Yep. Sure. For people who are not making jam and dressings at home, what are people putting in there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
Four blueberries. I do think that everyone buying these should use them for vinaigrettes. And if you don't have them, you can use an empty salsa jar. It's just as good.
Okay, so tell everybody. So your recommendation is a glass container.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Yeah.
Pyrex is great, but also you can recycle any sort of glass jar that
you
get.
Absolutely.
I like doing the little Trader Joe's Cornichon glass.
Oh, those are really good glasses.
Really perfect for that. The capers. Anything like small, salty, and pickly.
Yeah.
Comes in usually a little jar at the grocery store.
Goya used to, I guess they still do, but we don't buy Goya anymore. which is really upset. It's one of my favorite brands.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold Sofrito in this like very small mm-hmm. jar that was just perfect. And I love the Sofrito and then I love the jar afterwards.
But we still have some.
We have like one jar.
Left.
But like yeah.
So tell everybody how to make a salad dressing.
So salad dressing is really easy to do. At its core, for a vinaigrette, you want some kind of oil and some kind of sour agent, like a vinegar or a citrus juice, that kind of thing. But you can mix it up really easily. You can add mustard to them. You can add sugar to them. You can add
garlic
to them. You can add shallots to them. The one that I make the most often is, so it uses the pickling liquid from pickling red onions, which is like a sweetened sort of oniony vinegar.
Okay.
And then mix that with olive oil and a little bit of lemon juice or orange juice or whatever. But you just pour these things in. And the reason that I like glass Tupperwares for this is that you just pour the ingredients into the container, close it and then just shake vigorously. Because the annoying thing is emulsifying, like vinegar and olive oil doesn't want to mix.
Mm-hmm.
It's really annoying to get it to become one thing, which is why, like, I understand why people buy pre-made salad dressings, because they have like all kinds of weird emulsifiers in them so that they don't separate. But it's really easy if you have a small container like this to just pour your ingredients in and shake the shit out of it. And then it's emulsified. You just pour right away and then you're done.
So then do you recommend only making it like right as you're about to use it?
That's how I do it. Yeah, I don't store it. You could store it and then just shake it up before your use.
But there might be a little bit of a...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's probably fine. You know, like refrigerating fats, like oils can get, they can get all weird. But
I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know.
That would probably be fine. But yeah, I mean, the reason that I like it is because it's something that you don't, it takes 2 seconds. Like you just pour, pour vinegar, pour olive oil,
shake, do you have done. Like a specific recipe? Like you're not a big recipe user.
Yeah.
I know. It's one of the craziest things about the way Dan cooks is he doesn't use recipes. But for people who are like, if you were teaching me,
yeah,
how much oil versus how much, or do you feel like you just have a spoon and you keep tasting it?
Yeah.
Until you get what you want.
Right. And everyone has a different taste to it. Like, so the traditional French vinaigrette has way more oil in it than I like. I like it to be really, really sour. Like I want a very tart vinaigrette.
And I would like more oil and a little bit more of a bite. So I would do more shallots.
Yeah. But yeah, like, so you can follow the recipe. I think some places will call for like 2/3 oil or 3/4 oil and the rest vinegar, lemon juice.
Okay.
I like it flipped the other way. Like, I like it to be mostly vinegar or lemon or orange or whatever.
And that's what you use the small guys for.
Yeah.
So if anyone bought that jam advent calendar that we were talking about a few weeks ago, that's 30 little bottles of jam. Don't throw any of those away.
Glass bottles?
Those, yeah. Do you want me to get that?
Sounds good as hell.
I'll get you that so you can just... I'll just get you a mason... I'll just buy you a bunch of jars. I'll just buy a bunch of Cornichons, eat them, and then you can have all the jars, and that'll be your Christmas
gift. I'm such
gift.
An easy gift.
You're very easy. You're easy to shop for because all you want are glass bottles.
Yeah.
And then how, like, do you fill it up the whole way? Like, how much do you need? Is it all preference?
Yeah, it's preference. Like, also, if you have a little bit extra, it's not the end of the world. Like, you can save it or you can throw it out. Like, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is a lot of, like, I do a lot of just pouring in, like, eyeing it, shake it up so it's emulsified, taste it. Like, oh, this needs a little bit of sugar. It's, like, too sour. Or, oh, this is too vinegary. It needs more oil. It's too oily. It needs more vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, taste it a couple times and... then when it's right, you're all done.
Cool.
Yeah.
So glass Pyrex forever.
Love glass Pyrex.
Are there any sizes that you think people should get should have multiples of?
Mm.
Like, what's the best size Pyrex?
I like the big circle ones.
The big circle
ones?
Yeah,
we have a couple of those, right? Where I don't know how.
But you always lose we always lose their lids.
Right. So that would maybe be a
lids
reason
go
to
go the
buy.
Way of socks and pens and hair ties.
They just disappear.
They
I don't
really
know where
do.
They go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would make sense to buy like just like 5 of the same size so that they all have the same size lid.
I think a thing that I'm going to do in January, and I just had this idea, is I'm going to use the label maker that you got me a few Christmases ago. And when we're done with jars, I'm going to label like the tops to jars and the tops to and then the jars themselves. And then you'll know who's a match.
That makes sense.
Because I feel like I'm constantly trying to fit.
Trying on different
yeah, jars. Too. Just like a one with a one.
We have like a huge bowl just of like jar lids.
It's a little hoardy. I mean, honestly, like we have a lot. We don't ever throw out any glass, obviously. No. But there's so many things you need. Like
yeah.
We store all of our beans in glass. Some of our pastas in glass.
Yeah.
But now you know how to make salad dressing a la Dan. Dan. Thanks for coming to the show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You guys, I'll link to everything in the show notes. Everything from the smartwatch to the car organizer that Dan hates to the quilt that Dan hates to the hot tub to the Pyrex jars. And I'll get Dan to give us a little bit of some guidance recipe wise with the vinaigrette. And I'll also link to an article you wrote on salad dressing.
Oh, that's nice.
I think it's still on the internet, right?
I think it is still, posted somewhere, yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We will see you next week for another episode. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.